What is going on, all you constant listeners out there in the multiverse? Welcome back to the Earth 16 Comics Wire podcast, a podcast about comic books and where all comics and creators are celebrated. In this first episode of 2022, I'm going to give you a commentary on a character from the pages of Marvel Comics Star Wars, former TIE Fighter pilot, and Imperial Stormtrooper turned ruthless, cyborg bounty hunter, Baylert Valance. You definitely don't want to miss this episode, folks. What's going on, you constant listeners out there in the multiverse? I hope you all are doing really awesome this year. The new year is finally here. Happy New Year to all, 2022. And I'm really excited for this year, especially for the podcast. I'm personally planning on having my episodes posted every Friday, so you'll be hearing a lot of content from me, whether it's a character analysis like this episode that I'm going to be talking about, or if it's like a guest or even news related to the comic book realm or the world of comics, it's going to be posted every Friday. So some of my episodes, like I mentioned, will have guests, like creators, like you've been hearing previously. Some will be commentary about a character and or creators, past and present. And other episodes will be related to the news surrounding the world of comics. So it's just, yeah, I'm going to be having a whole lot of content. And I'm just really excited about where this podcast is going to go. And I have plenty of future upcoming episodes planned. I'm planning on interviewing Joe Furman of Atomic Comics in Gilbert, Arizona, where I live. I'm also going to be doing a episode on Osamu Tezuka and commentating on the amazing works that he done and his life. I'm also going to be doing an analysis on the Spider-Man Clone Saga, which I'll admit personally I haven't read yet. I've heard many great things about it. I mean, it's one of the legendary Spider-Man stories that I'm looking forward to reading. So it's going to be a real exciting read just to kind of split and dissect and see, and just to see my view on the characters and, you know, hearing about, you know, just dissecting the characters like Peter Parker, of course, and then his clone Ben Reilly, and what came of that whole saga. I'm also planning on having the creators of the of the comic book Thistle, and James Emmett is one of the creators behind that comic. I'm going to be interviewing him. I'm also planning on interviewing Patrick Lugo, the creator of A Tiger's Tale. Both these comics are going to be on Kickstarter also, so those are the episodes currently in the works right now. So yeah, very excited for the upcoming episodes. So that does it for the episodes. Now, I could be definitely found on social media also. So if you're listening, if you want to follow me on social media, you can follow me on Twitter at Brian of Earth16, or you can also follow the podcast at Earth16 Podcasts. You can follow my Instagram also at Earth16 Comics Wire, and my other Instagram at Brian of Earth16. And I also, believe it or not, have a TikTok account, ladies and gentlemen. And you can find me on TikTok at Earth16 Comics Wire. And I also have a YouTube page up as well. So that's where you can find me. So having said that, with the house cleaning, when I return, I will be giving you my commentary on Baylert Valance of Star Wars Bounty Hunters. And basically, he is a former TIE Fighter pilot, Imperial Stormtrooper, turned cyborg bounty hunter. You guys are definitely not going to want to miss this. Welcome back, constant listeners. Now I'm going to go straight to my commentary of Baylert Valance. A little behind the scenes on the character. So the character of Baylert Valance was created by comics writer Archie Goodwin in his run during his run on the 1978 Star Wars comics. And according to an article on Wikipedia, which is the Star Wars version of Wikipedia, the character of Valance was introduced by Archie Goodwin. He was not originally given a name, but when Jason Fry expanded the Valance story for role-playing purposes in his multi-part online article, The Hunt Within, he gave the bounty hunter a first name, convinced that Goodwin took the name Valance from a classic John Ford Western film called The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. Fry intended Valance's first name to be an anagram of Liberté. He also named Valance's homeworld Shinbone after the town in the film where Liberty Valance lived. So the Valance in this article being referenced is the expanded universe version of Baylor Valance. He's not the Valance from the main canon, in which I'm going to talk about more. So the Valance, in addition to the 1978 comic, the Valance in the main Disney Marvel canon appears in comics like Target Vader, which is written by Robbie Thompson and illustrated by Stefano Ladini and Niraj Menon, and lettered by VC's Joe Caramanga. He also appears in Han Solo Imperial Cadet, also written by Robbie Thompson, and the art being illustrated by Leonard Kirk and Arif Pirano, and lettered by Joe Caramanga. And then he was also featured prominently in Star Wars Bounty Hunters, which is written by Ethan Sachs, and the art is illustrated by Paolo Vianelli and Arif Pirano, and lettered by VC's Travis Laneham. So Valance's story in the main canon, his childhood home of Chorin is enslaved, and he comes from a family of miners that mine throughout the planet. However, the Galactic Empire comes along to liberate the planet, and the Chorin people are forever in debt to the Empire. They see them as heroes rather than conquerors, like, unlike, you know, a complete 180 from how the Twi'leks or the Twi'leks from Ryloth and the people from Raxus Prime would see the Empire. Because if you watch The Bad Batch, which takes place right after Revenge of the Sith, you would see how many planets viewed the Galactic Empire as the conquerors. They, you know, they begin to have a complete stranglehold in the galaxy. However, on Chorin, it's a completely different story. They see them as the heroes. They see them as the liberators. They're just head over heels over for the Empire. And young Baylor Valance, during his childhood, is just an idealistic young kid. When there's a parade full of Imperial soldiers and tanks and walkers coming along, he notices this Imperial stormtrooper who looks dashing. He has his helmet off, and he looks dashing and handsome. And he comes up to this Imperial Stormtrooper, who turns out to be Captain Charles Sokoli. And this guy becomes an influence on Valance's life, or Valance. He becomes a complete influence on Valance and a hero of sorts. And he tells him that, hey, even you can join the Empire and be a hero. So Valance is completely inspired. And at that point, I feel like his fate was sealed, because Valance's story on how he became a cyborg was that he devoted so much time to the Galactic Empire. He devoted all his heart and soul. But ultimately, because of that devotion, that's how he became a cyborg, due to his injuries and being tossed away like garbage from by the Galactic Empire. By that point, his fate is sealed. And I initially thought, like, had he not gone to that whole parade, you know, would he not joined? But my thought is, you know, no matter whether he went to the parade or not, and I felt like had he not gone to that parade, it would have not mattered. He probably still would have joined the Galactic Empire at some point. He still would have been inspired, because the people of Chorin, remember, look up to these guys as heroes. And Valance's dad, he was a miner just like his father's father. And Valance, for a while, was destined to be a miner. But by the time he went to that parade, he was going to become an Imperial, and he was going to achieve his dreams of becoming a pilot. And as he gets a little older, well into his adolescence and young adulthood, he's just a simple dude. He has a girlfriend, and he tells her that he wants to one day graduate from the Imperial Academy, captain his own Star Destroyer, sweep her off her feet. He has these dreams and aspirations, and he's like every one of us, you know, wanting to achieve those goals. And Valance leaves Torin with Eurella, running after him, and he promises Eurella that he'll return, and she gives him a gem for him to remember her by, and also for luck. And again, here I feel that Valance was just like any one of us. He had dreams and aspirations. He worshipped a hero that he looked up to and that inspired him. And he just wanted to live the best life. So like any one of us, he would, you know, I mean, he would like, he wanted to live the best life. So he did the one thing that he felt he could do, and that's follow the footsteps of his hero, Captain Sokoli, and join the Empire. And when he joined the Empire, he would rise up through the ranks. He would become an exemplary Imperial cadet, a quintessential Imperial cadet, a true patriot. And when he eventually gets to the Academy on Corita, he meets a certain young Corellian. And more on that after the break. Welcome back, constant listeners. In this segment, I'm going to be talking about Baylert Valance, the Imperial cadet. So by the time Baylert enrolls into the Imperial Academy, he is an exemplary cadet. He works very hard. He's very disciplined. He wants to be the best pilot. And eventually Valance would, lo and behold, meet a young Han Solo fresh off the planet Corellia, and the two would have a rivalry of sorts at the Corita Academy. So during a training mission, Valance would bully the Corellian by making fun of his given name, or his given last name, Solo. And he would do so by saying this, and I quote, "Solo, the Navy gave that stupid last name so everyone would know that you don't have any people, and so we'd all know that you really are a scum rat." And this is during a training exercise where Han actually messes up epically. And Han being Han, not caring, just gets the ire of this Imperial officer and she makes him redo the exercise. And this gets Valance fuming. Now, before I go well into their rivalry between Valance and Solo, and perhaps even their similarities, the Valance at this time reminds me more of a cross between a Steve Rogers and an Anakin Skywalker. And I say Steve Rogers, Captain America, because he is a patriot of, like, Captain America being the patriot of the United States and all things Americana, loving all things Americana. Valance is a patriot of the Galactic Empire and loving all things Galactic Empire. And going back to his childhood, he sees the Galactic Empire as, he sees the people, the soldiers, the military of the Galactic Empire as the liberators, and he feels like he owes a debt to the Galactic Empire. And he's willing to give whatever it takes for the Empire and for his home. And he's more like Anakin Skywalker in the sense that relies more on his skills, and which there's nothing wrong with relying on your skills, though, but Just to his own detriment, to think that he's better than everyone else. And ultimately, like Anakin, he sustains injuries that give him cybernetics, like Anakin becoming Darth Vader, Valance ultimately becoming a ruthless cyborg human bounty hunter. So going back to the rivalry between Han Solo and Baylert Valance, Valance would have several run-ins and fights with Solo, including in the cafeteria where Han just completely... Well, they completely get into a fight, and this is after Han gets put in the brig for stealing a TIE fighter. And during the cafeteria fight, Valance taunts Han about, you know, he's taunts Han once more, but then Han just decides to beat him up. So Han and Valance just beat each other up in the cafeteria until an Imperial officer notices them fighting, and then Han, being Han, just tells him, you know, it was nothing. We were just effing around. But then Valance still tells Han, like, you know, this isn't over yet. And at this point, their rivalry is a lot like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, or Flash Thompson and Peter Parker. I mean, this rivalry is like really heated between these two. And it's even more apparent when they compete on the leaderboard on to see who's the top pilot at the Karida Academy. And one funny note, Han, who's usually lax and laid back, and wanting to get out of the Imperial Academy to return to Corellia, works extra hard, but somehow credits all that hard work to Valance, who the Imperial higher ups see as exemplary. So the Imperial higher ups reward Valance with flying a TIE fighter, whereas Han and his friends, who were always getting into trouble, are regulated to flying transports. But Han ingeniously uses that opportunity to grab officers' passes, so that way they can fly the transport to a planet and just have fun. Well, not a planet, actually, but it's a planet near a casino. I remember from Imperial Cadet where he and his friends over to a mobile casino in the middle of the galaxy, and they just have fun. Whereas Valance is just out there flying in a TIE fighter, thanks to his quote unquote hard work. And when I read Imperial Cadet, Valance to me is just the antithesis of Han Solo. And this is why I mentioned sort of the similarities. While they do share some similarities, both are exceptional pilots, but Valance was more of a patriot, as I mentioned before, whereas Han just cared about going back home to Corellia and saving Kira from the White Worms, as seen in Solo. And Valance and Solo are both arrogant, as I mentioned before. However, Valance believed himself to be the quintessential Imperial pilot, like the best of the best, whereas Han just believed himself to be the best pilot, period, point blank. So during a mission on the planet Kulosk, where Valance, Solo, and their fellow cadets were sent to take down a local insurgency, Valance ends up getting shot down and injured. And it was to the point where Valance lost his leg, or the use of his leg, and he also lost his eye. And this scene reminded me of Anakin Skywalker from Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, where Anakin loses his arm to Count Dooku, and it slowly begins to on his road to becoming a human cyborg, or more machine than man. So that's where I can kind of see, going back to the similarities between how I said Valance was like Anakin Skywalker. Both men ultimately became more machine than men because of them being devoted so much to their cause, or so much to the fight. You know, Valance being so much devoted to the Galactic Empire, and Anakin just so much devoted to his impulses and his drive to save Padme in any way he can. It turned him into something that Han Solo and his friends saved Valance's life, but then Valance ends up losing his leg, he ends up losing his eye, and he is disbarred from ever flying a TIE fighter again. And even more of a low blow, his hero that he met at that parade as a kid, Tar Sokoli, tells him that he would never, ever again fly a TIE fighter and join the Imperial Navy. And this just crushes Valance completely. Can you imagine your hero that you looked up to, that you put up on a pedestal, telling you right to your face that you don't have what it takes anymore, you're done, you're damaged goods? I mean, that has to be a crushing blow. And it sure was to Valance, because Valance looked up to this guy, and I felt that this started to sow the seeds of Valance's disillusionment with the Empire. And his second disillusionment comes when he is transferred to the Stormtrooper Corps. So at that point, he's no longer able to fly a TIE fighter, though, but since he's still somewhat able-bodied, they transfer him to the Stormtrooper Corps. And I think he ultimately decided to become a Stormtrooper because he felt like, well, I still owe a debt to the Empire for liberating my planet. So while an exceptional stormtrooper, he once again endures another major setback in the form of a much bigger injury, which makes him a full cyborg. And this happens during the Battle of Mimbin, where he leads a squad of stormtroopers, and he still crawls on, even though he's badly injured. But ultimately, you know, the med droids of the Imperials find him, the med droids nurse him back to health, but he's just fully cyborged right now. He's like a full cyborg, and he is discharged from the Imperial Navy. And I feel like it was going back to the antithesis of being Han Solo. So as opposed to Han Solo, who wanted to get out of the Imperial Navy, Valance still wanted to be with the Empire, but they just toss him away like garbage. And this experience further cements Valance's bitterness with the Empire that he once served. And ultimately, this would also begin a road to Valance becoming a bounty hunter. More on that after the break. Welcome back, constant listeners. Now I'm going to go on to the segment of Baylert Valance, the bounty hunter cyborg. In the first stage of his life as a cyborg, at this point, Baylert Valance, the poor man, is bitter and angry that the Galactic Empire tossed him away like garbage. And he is just completely alone with no idea of what to do. And he's pretty much brooding until he meets a Nautilin bounty hunter by the name of Nakano Lash. Nakano Lash is a bounty hunter who's a Nautilin, same species as the Jedi Knight Kit Fisto, or the Jedi Master Kit Fisto. And he meets this mysterious bounty hunter after saving a child from being arrested and harassed by Imperial Stormtroopers. And Nakano Lash joins in on the fight to fight off the Imperial Stormtroopers, and she sees Valance's heroics and his will to save this young child. It decides to save his life since he's badly damaged and to upgrade his cybernetics, which makes him into the human cyborg bounty hunter that he is today. I feel like Nakano gave Baylert a sense of belonging, especially after the Empire tossed him aside, despite everything that he did for the regime and the cause. And at this point, Nakano becomes Valance's mentor in the bounty hunter profession. Nakano also noted that she saw herself in that little girl that Valance rescued. So this is them pretty much bonding their friendship as bounty hunters, professional and in a sense personal too. However, the relationship becomes somewhat strained or goes south during a bounty hunter mission on Corellia. And Nakano Lash and Valance are hired by the leader of the Mourner's Tale, a crime syndicate, to eliminate the target of the rival syndicate, the Unbroken Clan. The heir of the Mourner's Tale, his name is Camus, and he hires them to eliminate the heir of the Unbroken Clan. And Nakano's crew at this time consists of Lash herself, Valance, a bounty hunter by the name of Tongor, the Trandoshan Bosk, and everyone's favorite bounty hunter, Boba Fett. So what makes the mission go awry and go south is just that Nakano assassinates Camus, the person from the Mourner's Tale, the heir of the Mourner's Tale, or Mourner's Wail, who hired Nakano and her crew. And it just completely botches at this point. It's every man and woman for themselves. And it causes a war between the Mourner's Wail and the Unbroken Clan. And as a result, every bounty hunter's rep is soiled. And this would really tick Boba Fett off, the dangerous bounty hunter in the galaxy. And all the bounty hunters feel betrayed by Lash, and they want to exact vengeance on her. However, Lance is still in disbelief that Lash would betray him, and said that she would never do such a thing, but sure enough she does, and it kind of gets his head spinning a little bit to the point where, I think it's even to the point where he once again feels betrayed, just like by Lash. He feels betrayed by Lash, just like he felt betrayed by the Galactic Empire. But during this time also too, he as a bounty hunter is hired by an organization called the Hidden Hand to assassinate Darth Vader. And Valance, at this point, having no love for the Empire that he once served anymore, is more than willing to partake in the job. Now, however, during the 6-part comic series called Target Vader, which was written by Robbie Thompson, spoiler alert, he obviously doesn't complete his mission in killing Vader, but he does help the Rebel Alliance secure supplies. And during the mission, he enlists several bounty hunters, including Dengar, who actually betrays him over to Vader, and Valance is interrogated, and but he eventually escapes and helps the rebels. But before all that too, Vader threatens Valance with endangering his people of Chorin, his home planet. And Valance actually did return to Chorin, and he did return to his girlfriend Yura to help them defeat the raiders, because like the Galactic Empire abandoned Valance, they also abandoned Chorin. So Valance took it upon himself to defeat the raiders and then eventually help out his people. And Vader, being Darth Vader, threatened Valance by threatening to harm his village. However, Valance apparently pulls a fast one on Vader and tricks him, and his people, including Yrala, are safe on another planet, which is a jungle planet, and it's under control of the rebels. So I feel like the Empire, like I said before, the Empire abandoned, pretty much tossing Valance away like garbage, also did the same to Chorin. And I think the people of Chorin also, like Valance, had their eyes open, realizing that the Empire wasn't what it seemed. So, as a result of going back to the Nakano Lash storyline, as a result of Lash's betrayal, Valance has to settle for stealing bounties from other bounty hunters, which goes against the Bounty Hunters Guild. And then Valance would also go on to investigate Lash's whereabouts after a bounty had been posted on her head. And little does Valance know, Nakano Lash is still alive and well, but she's also kind of ill. And she's hiding away and raising a little girl who, by the name of Cadelia, who happens to be the child of Camus and the heir of the Unbroken Clan, which turns out to be a young woman that Camus had relations with. And the name of the woman who's the heir of the Unbroken Clan, the rival clan of the Mourner's Tale, his name is, I believe her name is, I forgot her name though, but it also starts with a K as well. If I can look back at my notes, I mean, I took a lot of notes on this as I was reading the comic, just because, again, the story of Star Wars Bounty Hunters is a really unique story. I mean, I just want to make sure that I give you constant listeners much content here. Ah, Corinthia. That's the name of the Unbroken Clan heir. Corinthia. So Camus and Corinthia had a child together in secret. And it was birthed as Cadelia. And when Valance finds Lash in a site of a old Clone Wars battle, it took wreckage from the Clone Wars against the Republic and the Separatists. It was like a huge space battle. So Lash is actually hiding out there with Cadelia after they're on the run from bounty hunters chasing her. He learns about this. He learns why Lash betray, pretty much killed the person who hired them to kill, which is Camus, which is why she, the reason why she killed Camus, because she wanted to save a pregnant woman, and the woman would eventually have Cadelia. And Lash also explained to Valance that Cadelia would, with the existence of Cadelia, she would unite the two criminal syndicates and end the war. However, the Unbroken Clan has other plans now that it's under the leadership of General Fricola. And also, Boba Fett finds Valance, Lash, and Cadelia, and tries to kill Lash, but Valance protects her from him. And Valance and Fett don't like each other. They're pretty much at each other's throats, especially since the botched mission, which Boba Fett was a part of. Now, Boba Fett fails in killing Glash, but the leader of the Unbroken Clan succeeds in doing so. Also meant to kill Cadelia, but with Glash's final words, she tells Valance to she gives him her blaster and also tells him to protect Cadelia. And Valance agrees to her wishes because at this point he saw her as a mentor, and in a sense there was kind of like a bond there. You know, it wasn't a romantic bond. It was more like a friendship. You know, and Valance really felt indebted to her as well for saving his life, just like he was pretty much indebted to Han Solo after the Carillion saved his life. And speaking of Han Solo, actually, I want to mention too that there was one mission where Valance was sent to assassinate someone, and little did he know it was actually Han Solo. And Han Solo was horrified by what he saw, that when he saw Valance, that he saw him as a cyborg, and asked him what was wrong with him. And Valance felt terrible, saying that he didn't know, but Han and Chewie ran away into the Millennium Falcon without an explanation. So you can see that clearly Valance, despite the fact that he was arrogant, despite the fact that he prided himself as better than everyone else, especially during his days in the Imperial Academy, is actually a pretty good man. He's a man who knows right from wrong. He's not necessarily a hero. I mean, he is ruthless still, but he does have a sense of right and wrong too. And even for a cyborg, he ha does have some humanity. So after the Nakano Lash storyline ends with her death and Valance taking Cadelia over to Urala, who happens to be married to a rebel by the name of Condra, he somewhat gets involved with the rebels again, and he helps him. He pretty much helps them evacuate the planet that they're on because Forlum and Zuckuss are on his tail, and they were hired by the Unbroken Clan to go kill Cadelia. So he sends them over to the rebels for them to protect Cadelia while he throws them off the scent. And he also helps out the rebels too with transporting a ship that's sent to evacuate the rebels called the Spirit of Jeddah. And there's one funny part in that whole storyline where Valance actually flies an X-wing fighter. So a former Imperial TIE fighter pilot flies an X-wing, and he also has a astromech droid, excuse me, an astromech droid in the terminal, just yapping along, beeping along, and he just tells it to shut up. And another funny thing is Valance, you know, doesn't like droids, and he tells this droid to just be quiet. And this is a really funny scene. It's one of my favorite scenes of the series as well. So after Valance's encounter with the rebels, he decides to focus on rescuing Han Solo. So he and Dengar, who sold him out to Darth Vader during the botched mission to kill Vader, do form an uneasy partnership, and it takes him straight to the clutches of Crimson Dawn. And the reason why they're going over to Crimson Dawn is because Valance feels like he owes it to himself and owes it to Han Solo to save the Corellian, who's currently frozen in carbonite. So keep in mind, Star Wars Bounty Hunters takes place a little bit after The Empire Strikes Back, the events that happen at The Empire Strikes Back, where Han gets frozen in carbonite, the rebels are in complete disarray after the Battle of Hoth, and Luke Skywalker is trying to still figure himself out as a Jedi Knight. So in comes Crimson Dawn, and Kira, Han Solo's ex-girlfriend, is completely running the show. And the Crimson Dawn series, the Battle of the War of the Bounty Hunters, was one of my favorite Star Wars bounty Star Wars storylines in the new canon. It reminds me a lot of the Shadows of the Empire, whereas Prince Xizor was like playing chess with the rebels and the Galactic Empire with his organization Black Sun. Kira is, you know, Han Solo's ex-girlfriend is in the same role, I feel, just completely playing chess with like the rebels, the Galactic Empire, and all the other criminal syndicates, including Black Sun. And the funny thing is that Prince Xizor from Legends, who is a big, big dog in the Legends, a big villain, is actually canon in the Disney Marvel canon. So Valance and Dengar try to get Han Solo, and Valance goes through several partnerships. Like, he ditches Dengar and partners up with Boba Fett. However, what happens is that he, after a short alliance with Boba Fett, Boba Fett double-crosses him and gets him captured by the Galactic Empire just by using an electromagnetic pulse. And Valance is completely knocked down. He's barely able to move. But he comes close to escaping the... So they go aboard. So how it happens is that Boba Fett and Valance fly over to the Super Star Destroyer, Darth Vader's Super Star Destroyer, to retrieve the carbonite form of Han Solo. However, even though they're almost successful, that's where Boba Fett turns on him and double-crosses him. And it's Boba Fett that ultimately recaptures the Han Solo, you know, the slab of Han Solo, which he originally had from the get-go, so that way he can get paid by Jabba the Hutt. And shortly after, Valance is trying to escape the Super Star Destroyer, and he encounters a young Imperial cadet who reminds him of himself when he was younger, and Valance just tells him, you know, look, man, the Galactic Empire is not what you think it is. You're young, you still have a future ahead of you, don't fall for it, get out. But before the kid could actually leave, or for the kid could actually make up his mind, what happens is that the air vacuum opens up and the poor kid gets sucked out, and Valance is just completely crushed again because he's reliving, I'm pretty sure, what's going on through his brain. You know, through his brain, it's just that he's thinking about how he was betrayed, you know, when he was serving the Empire, and how the Empire just threw him like a piece of garbage. And at this point, he is fully restored. He wakes up fully restored, and his skin is completely, you know, restored as well, because with Valance's appearance, like I said, he looks like the Terminator. He's pretty much the Star Wars equivalent of the Terminator, with his synthetic skin ripped out from his face. Like, you can see, like, his metallic cyborg-like exoskeleton, but under the Galactic Empire, he's completely restored thanks to Darth Vader, and he has restorable synthetic skin, and he becomes sort of like a reluctant pawn in Darth Vader's game to rout out Crimson Dawn. So Darth Vader is pretty much going after Crimson Dawn, and it's under the current storyline of Crimson. I think it's called Crimson Reign. And Darth Vader's mission is to basically get rid of Crimson Dawn, because he sees Crimson Dawn as a threat to the Imperial Order. And in Crimson Reign, Kira is trying to get Crimson Dawn to become the Syndicate, like to become the New Order, basically. So it's going to be a really interesting series. And In the latest comic that I've read, Valance is partnering up with Darth Vader along with several other of his pawns, including Ochi of Bestoon. And we also get to see Valance fly a TIE fighter. So I feel like the Empire is sort of manipulating Valance and kind of dangling the carrot around him, saying that, you know, oh, we actually want you back, even though we threw you like a piece of garbage. We want you back. You can fly a TIE fighter again. And he does fly a TIE fighter. He flies the TIE Defender. And actually, he re-encounters his old mentor, Sokoli, which initially Darth Vader told Valance that Sokoli was a sympathizer to the cause of Crimson Dawn, when in fact, it turns out that he wasn't. So Vader is playing a game with Valance, and there's no doubt in my mind that Valance is somehow going to find out that Darth Vader has been playing him all along, and man, is he going to be ticked. And I don't know if Valance is going to survive an encounter with Vader. I mean, if he does, I'd be really surprised, and he just rides off into the sunset. But until then, we'll see where Valance's story goes from here, since his story has been told mostly in Bounty Hunters and Target Vader. Bounty Hunters is running for 19 issues right now, going on 20, so we'll see. Overall, the character of Baylert Verlance is, he's got to be one of my favorite Star Wars comic book characters, just because he has a really interesting story. He is an Imperial, or he was an Imperial, who became disillusioned with the Empire after the organization is taking everything away from him. I mean, they took away his humanity when he wanted to fight for the Empire. They took everything away from him, his humanity, his purpose, his home. They betrayed his home and his people. And Valance just doesn't, and I can understand why Valance became a bounty hunter, because imagine believing in something so strongly, yet only to be betrayed by it. What would you do by at that point? And I feel like a lot of characters can relate to Valance. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I haven't read that much Green Lantern, but I feel that Sinestro in the DC Comics Green Lantern was kind of the same way, where he felt that there had to be a reason why, as to why he decided to wield a yellow ring instead of yield a green one, because I guess for in his view, he wanted order in his home planet of Kurgar, and he felt like it was justified. Like, I feel like some of these characters always have motive, and you kind of sometimes question whether they're actually good or evil in a sense. Well, with Valance, obviously, he's not an evil dude. He's a good man, And you can tell just by him, he doesn't have to be a part of the Rebel Alliance or a noble Jedi Knight to be a good man. I mean, he just is. Like, he knows right from wrong, despite the fact that he's ruthless, like I mentioned before. I would have to say that a character that would I feel like would relate to Valance would be Deathstroke, in a sense. Slade Wilson, another DC Comics character. I feel like with Deathstroke, he is not necessarily a good or a bad guy, but again, Deathstroke has his moments where he knows right from wrong. He's not so legalistic, I mean, I've seen this in the comic Batman versus Deathstroke by Christopher Priest, where it was a rumored that Damian was actually Deathstroke's son and not Bruce, and not Bruce Wayne's son, but then it was found out later on otherwise. And Deathstroke even tells Damian later on that, every father needs a son and every son needs his father, I think, something to that effect. And yeah, even someone as ruthless as Deathstroke understands a relationship between a father and his child. Or in his case, in Damien's case, a father and his son. So overall, I mean, the character of Valance is one of my favorites. He's a really cool character, and I hope we see more of him. I really hope that they do a Disney Plus series. And Dave Filoni, if you're somehow listening to this podcast, I totally would definitely have you or somebody that you know do a Disney Plus series on this guy. I mean, this guy deserves it. I mean, he's really that awesome. So that's pretty much all I have to say about Baylert Verlance of Star Wars, Marvel Star Wars. Thank you so much all for listening to this episode. It's the first episode of the year. I'm glad that I did it. I hope to do more episodes like this, and especially on characters that I find really intriguing or interesting. So if you liked this episode, you can definitely subscribe. You can listen to it anywhere on Spotify, Apple Podcast. And if you like the content in general and you want to follow me on social media, you can at my Twitter, which is Earth16 Podcasts. You can also go to my personal Twitter of Brian of Earth16. And you can also go to Instagram, my Instagram at Earth16 Comics Wire and Brian of Earth16. So I have two Instagram accounts, and I also have two Twitter accounts. And you can also find me on TikTok at Earth16 Comics Wire. So thank you so much all for listening. And as I always say, constant listeners, stay ever so awesome. This is Brian of Earth 16 signing out.